Lord, it's all about you, not about us. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is about you. And thank you that you're here in our midst speaking to us today as we worship together. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. It's sometimes easy to get wrapped up in all the other stuff, all the busyness and all the things that go on in church and all the things that happen, and we forget why we're here. Last week we looked at worshiping God in spirit and truth. What's that look like? How do we respond? What does it mean to worship in the spirit? What does it mean to worship in truth? And what is worship in doing that? Today I want us to go to a worship service. And the worship service is not in here, but it will be. But I want us to go to a worship service that's found over in the scripture in Mark chapter 14. Maybe a little different worship service than what we were looking for, or what the people were looking for at that time. Matter of fact, some people got kind of upset at that worship service that was taking place at that time. And it's just like I said last week, if I ask us all to give a definition of what is worship or what is a worship service, we'd all probably come up with a different thing. Some of us may say, well, singing is a worship service, or different ways that we respond is a worship service. But a worship service in its totality is focusing on Jesus Christ and God and putting our attention there. If we don't put our attention there, we've missed it. We've missed it. Sometimes we come and we go, you know, I didn't get much out of that service today. And the question we should be asking is this: the service wasn't about you. It's not about us. It's about Him. There's only one person in the audience today. The only person in the audience here in this place is Jesus Christ, and He's with us in spirit, and we must worship Him in spirit and truth. So as we look into Mark chapter 4, we find something. Mark chapter 14, I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question. This is a multiple guess. I always thought, you know, I never had multiple choice tests when I was in school. I had multiple guess tests, because that's what I did a lot. If you could become any one of four people, which one would you become? If you become the richest, most successful businessman in the world, if you could become, would you want to do that? The second, if you could become the most popular, most attractive movie star in the world. The third, if you could become the president of the United States, if you could lower your standards and could become the president of the United States, would that be one? Or the fourth, if you could become a poor orphan in Southern Africa, what do you choose? Some of us might have a hard time choosing between A, B, and C, the richest, the prettiest, the most powerful, but D is kind of out there, right? Not many people would pick that. Let me change the question, and let's do it again. Now, if you have the same four choices, except you choose A, B, C, you do not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But if you're an orphan in Africa, you get to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What do you choose? Is it hard? Is the choice hard? You see what I'm saying? What is Jesus worth? What is Jesus worth? Is knowing Him worth more than all of Bill Gates' money? Is knowing Him worth more than the fame or the power or prestige or position? Because when we truly come to worship Him, He has to be the most important thing in our life. Not one of the most important things, not a kind of important thing, but He is our all in all. Can you imagine men going to your wife and saying, "Honey, I love you. I love you so much. I love you so much more than those other women I'm seeing on the side." How would that go over? You see, our loyalty to our spouse needs to be loyal, but our loyalty to Jesus Christ needs to be the same way. We can't come to Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you more than anything else in the world except for this or this. And that's why we come to this story as pretty much the same as trying to pick whether I have Christ or don't have Christ and have fame and fortune. So let's look at Mark chapter 14, verse 3 through 6. And he says there, while he was in Bethany at the house of Simon, who had a serious skin disease, which is leprosy, he was reclining at the table. A woman came with an alabaster jar of pure and expensive fragrant oil of nard. She broke the jar and poured it on his head. Now, I'm kind of wondering about that sometimes. If I was sitting at a table eating lunch and someone walked in and poured something on my head, you know, that might be a little different. But you got to realize why this moment. So she came and poured it on his head. But some were expressing indignation to one another. Why was this fragrant oil not wasted in such a way? But this oil might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they began to scold her. And Jesus said, leave her alone. Why are you bothering her? She has done a noble thing. This woman came to worship. She heard that Jesus was eating in this house, and she came to worship. So worship simply means giving worth to God, and that's what she did. It doesn't matter where or when or just as long as you're pouring yourself out in worship. This was in a house. It can be on the mountainside. It can be in church. It can be in your car. It can be in your home. The worship is really showing God that what he's worth to us, and that's so important. Jesus met this woman at the well last week. We talked about that, and she met this woman at the well. And she said, well, some people say you got to worship in Jerusalem. Some people worship here. And he said, no, my Father's looking for people who worship me truly in spirit and in truth. It means it does not matter when. It does not matter if it's on a Wednesday or a Sunday or whenever, but it matters that your heart is right when you come to him. Some of you remember the guy named Dr. Seuss, read some of his books. How about this? It does not matter if it's in the rain or on a train or on a plane. You can worship in a box with a fox as long as you cry out instead of the rocks. You can worship on land or sea. You can worship from a tree. Just don't be afraid to get on your knees. I don't know. Wherever, however. Now, Mary's anointing of this happened here must not be confused with the similar event that's recorded over in Luke. The unnamed woman in the house of Simon the Pharisee was a converted harlot who had expressed her love to Christ because his gracious forgiveness of her many, many sins. They were in this house of this healed leper. And Mary came to express her love to Christ because he was going to the cross to die for her, and she knew it. She didn't want to wait till the funeral to give out flowers. She wanted to do it now while he was still there with them. And so she did. So let's look at a couple of things here. Three things in particular that I was looking at this passage. The first thing is you got to catch this part. It matters that your worship is with spirit and truth and you do it honestly. The first thing was her worship was expressive. Her worship was expressive. When you come into the place where you're here to worship God, it's okay to be expressive. It's okay to clap your hands, to raise your hands, to smile, to get on your knees, to be expressive in worship. It was expressive. She didn't just sit back in a place and say, I'm not going to do anything. Worship, part of our worship should be expressive before the Lord. I heard about a church one time that right in the middle of the service, a man had a heart attack and he passed away. They called the EMTs to come. They came to the church. They had to check out six men before they found the right one. Because they were just sitting there out of it. Ah, that's for the kids. That's for somebody else. Worship should be expressive. A worship should be something that we express in doing that. Pouring ourselves out in worship is a selfless act. And there's no room for ourselves in that part of worship. God, does God, do you think, desires one kind or another kind? Does God want this kind of worship or that kind of worship? I think he just wants worship, however we express that. Whether it be through singing, whether it be through praying, whether it be through preaching, whether it be through whatever God calls you to do, expressing ourselves. The most important thing to God is the sincerity of the worshiper. He wants to know, are you doing it in truth? Is it sincere? Are you sure for that? She comes in with this jar of very expensive alabaster jar that she had. And she said, I'm going to break this and it's going to be a pure blessing before God. God, this perfume that's in here is not for anyone but you. And so she did that. When we pour ourselves out in worship, it's not for anyone's benefit for you, but yourself, but the Lord himself. Sometimes we get in and we go, okay, I wonder who's looking at me, if they're going to see me raise my hand, if they're going to see me dance a little bit, whatever they're going to see me do. Here's the thing. When we come into this place to worship the Lord, we should draw a circle around ourselves, not literally on the carpet. We draw a circle around ourselves and say, okay, God, me and you here, no one else. No one else. It doesn't matter if the praise team messes up, if that guy that's leading them sings the wrong thing. It doesn't matter because he does it all the time. But I'm not doing it for you folks. We sing and we worship, and this praise team doesn't worship so people can say, oh, listen to them. Oh, they hit a wrong note again. That doesn't matter. It's not about us. It's about him. That's why the scripture says that we are to make a joyful noise before the Lord. God wants us to make a joyful noise before him and do that. In that last song we sang, it says, I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. It's all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the things that I've made it. It's all about you. Oh, we make it about all kinds of things. I get advertisements every week and about having a big video board and having a smoke machine and having all these things in your church. I don't know if that's about the Lord. Is that truly about him, or is it about entertainment? Maybe it is. I don't know. I can't say. Only God knows, because God knows our heart. So her worship was very expressive. So when we come into this place, we ought to express ourselves. If God says, say amen, say amen. If God says, shout to the Lord. You know, we sing the song, shout to the Lord all the earth. Maybe we just need to shout to him sometime. The shout was given in the Old Testament times as a sign of victory. And when there was a sign of victory, they would shout. And all the people would shout, and great things happened. Even when they came to the walls of Jericho and they marched around seven times, he said, when you come to the end, if you march around, those shout, and the walls came tumbling down. So maybe sometime you needed to just shout. I was a pastor, or was a part of a church on the church staff years ago. We had a little lady named Miss Dugall. D-U-G-A-T. Dugall. Now that's a little bit of that Louisiana stuff, right? Miss Dugall, and she would just bust out every now and then. We'd be right in the middle of something, woo! I'm not going to say who else does that sometimes, Cindy. It's okay to be expressive. And she was expressive. She didn't hold it in. She did not keep it inside of her. She let it out. And worship should be expressive. In the scripture, it calls us to be expressive. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if you don't cry out, the rocks will. And I don't want to be outdone by a rock. How about you? At all. So her worship was expressive. The second thing, her worship was emotional. Her worship was emotional. In another passage, the woman wiped the Lord's feet with her tears. Why? What was going on? Well, all the people were there. All the people were in the room. But they were not excited about Jesus anymore. They sat down to the meal with Jesus just like he was one of their fellow people. They had become comfortable with Jesus. Have you become comfortable with Jesus? I mean, we've all heard the stories. Jesus Christ came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross. 3 days later, resurrected, you know. And we get so familiar with it that we lose the awe of it. We lose that. We lose that ability to think about it and think about what was happening there. In Luke 7:44, the other passage that goes with this, it said that Simon didn't even offer him water to wash his feet. That was something that was very important in those days. So the lady comes in, she starts crying, and her tears are used to wash his feet. Her worship was emotional. It's okay to get emotional, people, sometime. Now, we don't have to make things up, and we don't have to do things. I know that a few years ago, I preached in a church. We had dedicated our new building, and we gave our old building. We moved it down the road to this church, and there were some people there. And every year they would dedicate the building. I went there, and we're doing this. And this one little lady, she got up about halfway down the aisle, and she spun around about three times and fell out on the floor. And her wig fell off. And she grabbed it and put it back on and fell back out. God doesn't want us to make up things. God doesn't want us to come along and be fake. If it's fake, God sees it. He knows it. That's why he says in spirit and in truth. It's got to be real. It's got to be real. Gwen and I were at a conference a few years ago, and there was a group there that were doing the music. And as they started doing the music, before they even hit the first note, there was two girls jumped out in the aisle. And they were like that. I'm going, hey, wait, we hadn't even started yet. They were expressive, but I wonder if they even knew what was going on. Maybe they were. It's my job to judge. God's is. But her worship was emotional. A lot of people come to church and say, here I am, Lord, bless me. Bless me. And God says, no, I want you to bless me in doing that. This woman who came into the room was about to upset their comfort zone. These were Christ's disciples. They had been with Christ. They had seen the miracles. They had walked with him. They had seen him walk on water. They had seen heal the blind, help the lame. They'd seen all those things, and they kind of just grew accustomed to it. Okay, well, God, do it again. It's okay. But this lady was getting ready to mess some things up. Number one, she was out of tradition. The rabbi approached by a woman. Now, in the day and time in which they came, the women were supposed to be, even when they went to the temple, they were kept in a whole other area. They could not even go into the special place because the men were in charge of that place. That's why Jesus said, at the foot of the cross, there is no Jew or Greek or male or female. He wasn't talking about changing your sex. That's not what he was talking about there. He wasn't talking about that. What he was talking about is that there, and at the foot of the cross, we're all the same. God doesn't look down at us and say, oh, there's a man, or there's a woman, or there's a rich person, or a poor person, or there's a person with talents. God looks down at us and says, if we are his, they're my children. They're my children. It's like when you have children in your home and someone says, which one do you love the most? You know, I love them all. Now, I have favorites. But we love them all. And God loves us all. And he does that. This woman, though, was getting ready to mess up their lives. They've been comfortably sitting. They were just having their meal, having fun. But all of a sudden, this woman bumps into the room. As she comes in the room, she walks over to Jesus, breaks the alabaster, pours the oil over him, and all of a sudden, someone became indignant, the scripture says. She brought something precious to offer, and she was not deterred by what others thought or think of her. Do you get deterred sometime by what other people think about you? I don't know what they're going to think. If I stand up, or if I raise my hands, or if I sing out loud, or I say amen, or shout, what is other people going to say? She didn't care. She let her emotions take over. Her emotion was a deep love. We must learn to bring our offering and praise and worship and give it to the Lord, no matter what other people are doing. This lady, I believe, is a picture of the true church and how praise and worship should be offered. The Bible says she was weeping over Christ. After she poured the oil on his head, she began to weep and her tears dripped on her. And the Bible says she let her hair down. What, you know, the Bible says that your hair, ladies, is your glory. And she was letting her hair down. She was pouring her glory onto him. It was very important. Her glory. She laid her glory at the feet of Jesus. And a lot of churches that are glorifying themselves. There are a lot of churches that are glorifying fine buildings or high steeples. This week, my wife's looking, she said, here's five preachers and here's their net worth. This one's worth $70 million. This one's worth $40 million. This one's worth $20 million. And I'm like, man, I'm preaching at the wrong church. No, I'm preaching at the right church. It's not about the stuff. It's not about the thing. Are we glorying in a building? Are we glorying in something besides God? We should lay our glory at Him. I know we often talk about laying our burdens at the feet of Jesus. I believe it's time the church stopped doing that and started laying our glory at the feet of Jesus. Let me ask you a question. Metaphorically, when was the last time you let your hair down before Jesus? I have a little more trouble than some of you. When's the last time you let your glory down on Jesus? That's what He wants. It was emotional. It was emotional. Your praise and worship are precious ointment to the Lord. It was expensive. It was costly. But she was willing to give it. So her worship was expressive. Her worship was emotional. And her worship was extraordinary. It was extraordinary. In Mark chapter 12, verse 30, it says this, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Her worship was extraordinary because, number one, no one else was doing it. They should have been doing it, but they got familiar with Jesus. I hear people sometime, you know, a few years back during the Jesus movement, there's a lot of people that referred to Him as the man upstairs. You know, the big guy in the sky. God's my friend. Well, yes, He is our friend, but He is our Lord and Savior, and God is God. And we must worship Him in that way and focus on Him in that way. She broke the flask, the Bible says, and she poured it out. In order to preserve the oil, it had to be tightly sealed in alabaster. But in order to use the oil, which could not be saved once it was opened, the long neck of the flask had to be irreversibly and decisively broken. I wonder what went through her mind just before He broke it. It says it was worth 300 denarii. That's just the oil. The alabaster jar probably was about the same, about another thing. So about 600 denarii, which would come to about $30,000 in today's terms. That's pretty expensive. pretty expensive for one act of worship, but she said, it's worth it. It's worth it. It was extraordinary. As she thought about these things, I think she probably thought, if this man can raise my brother from the dead, if this man can give me joy and peace and new life, if this man is who he says he is, then he's all I need. He's all I need. Did she say, I don't need any of those other things? I don't need any of my prized possessions, my cherished longings and desires, my hope chest full of hoarded treasures, because I have him. I have him. See, when you have God, you have enough. 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 She said, I found him. He is the key to my future. He is all my hopes and dreams. He is all that I have and desire. In Psalm 73:25, it says this, whom have I in heaven but you? And there is none on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. It was extraordinary. And her worship, the fourth thing, was extravagant. It was extravagant. After being away on business, this young man decided, I'm going to take a gift home to my wife. And he said, I think I'll maybe go down to the store down there and just see what they got. He went to the store and he said, I need to buy some perfume for my wife. I'm going to take her some perfume home, but on trips. So she said, okay. She said, here's a bottle here. This one is $85 an ounce. He said, $85? That's more than I was hoping to spend. He said, what else you got? She said, well, here's another one, and it's $60. No. What else you got? He says, here's another one, and it's $40. No. I didn't want to really spend that much. So she says, here's another one. Little tiny bottle, and he said, this is $15. He said, yeah, I'm good. But I'd like to see something really cheap. So she handed him a mirror. Her gift to Jesus was expensive. I'm not saying that we should come in here and say, okay, let's throw stuff away or whatever. But I'm saying this. It may cost us something. I know people in this room that it has cost them relationships with their family. I know people in this room that have not been invited to family outings because of their relationship with Jesus Christ. It costs something to worship God. But it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it. For sure. Sometimes church is expensive. Sometimes worship is expensive. We always do these things. We don't have a very elaborate building. We were able to build this building. God was able to build this building to be used for His glory, for sure. What would your reaction be, though, if someone came in and said, listen, I've seen our deacons here. I'm going to buy every one of the deacons a $2,000 Armani suit to wear. What would your reaction be? Oh, wait a minute. That's pretty extravagant. That's pretty expensive. And what if they said, and I'm going to buy the pastor a brand new Cadillac? What would you say? Well, I can tell you what my reaction would be. I'd say, that's pretty extravagant. I don't think you ought to do that. But if you do, I really like the Escalades. No, Jesus was doing ministry. And as he was doing ministry, things were happening. And this lady comes in and she pours out this expensive stuff. And they got mad. And Jesus comes back and says, listen, this lady has done an act of worship for me, and you guys, y'all didn't even offer to wash my feet when I came in, and she's wiping my feet with her hair and her tears because you've kind of grown familiar. I hope that you have not grown too familiar with God. That when you come to worship Him, that you're still in awe of Him. That there's still a part of you that says, God, you're amazing. That He still amazes you. I've heard it before, and I'm seeing things where people say, well, why do you think God created man? Why do you think that He created, put him in the garden? I hear people say, well, He created man for fellowship. No, He didn't. God wasn't sitting up in heaven one day and going, man, I'm lonely. I think I'll make a bunch of little creatures after my own likeness that don't respond to me and don't follow me so I can fellowship with them. No, that's not why God created man. He created us for His glory. That's what He created us for. So you're created for God's glory, and any time that you're not bringing glory to God, you're not doing what God created you for. And so He does that for us in that way. The heart of worship means that we come to bless God. We come to pour our perfume on His head. And don't worry about the others. They were complaining about the money, but it's not all about the money. They had seen Jesus' ministry. They knew that God provided for him. And for them, it was more about going through the motions than it was about worshiping. You know what happened? They got so caught up with the man Jesus, they forgot He was the Son of God. They forgot it was God in the flesh. I've been there. Get so caught up in the work of the church and the things that you are not in awe of Jesus anymore, for sure. But that's where they were. And I hope you're not in that crowd, because if someone were to come along and say, I'm going to do something special for the pastor, I'm going to do something special for somebody, whatever, how do we feel about that? Are we just jealous? Are we jealous of what is happening in worship towards our God? Because we've lost the awe of God. Worship ought to make you feel spiritually alive. Worship should give you strength to serve. It should help your creative side. It should bring out your best. Worship is expensive. Yes, it will cost you something. But the most expensive thing it's going to cost you is yourself. God doesn't want your stuff. He wants you. He wants you. He wants you to be able to come before Him and say, Lord, I bless you. However I can, in my weakness, in my strength, with my talents, with my gifts, with my money, with whatever I have, God, I want to bring glory to you however I can. Not your typical worship service. They didn't have a bulletin. They didn't have somebody leading a song. They didn't have a piano. They didn't have music. They didn't have anything. It's just a woman who comes into the room and does an act of worship that is forever recorded and remembered in Scripture. I'm sure there were other things that happened in Christ's life where people did things. But God chose to give us this story so we could see into this woman's heart how she just laid it all at the feet of Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And it's all about you, Jesus, all about you. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it, because it's all about you. Father, I pray that it will be all about you. the God in our lives and our hearts, that, Lord, we do not become so familiar with things that we don't have awe and reverence anymore. God, we can get so busy doing good things, that we forget about the best thing, that's you. Lord, may our hearts be in tune with you. May we be like this lady who doesn't care what the others around her are saying, doesn't care what the others are doing, but are focused totally on you and completely on you. We pray for that. We pray that you will draw our hearts back to where they need to be. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.